When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions live here on a Monday night with the start of NBA free agency. We bring in Evan Sidery to help us out, sort through a lot of this craziness here, an NBA contributor for Forbes. Evan, appreciate you making some time during a really busy period here. So I want to jump right into it. So much chatter around the Lakers and how will this team try to secure and figure out that center position. The big news around DeAndre Ayton last night perhaps gives us an idea. Anything that you're starting to see around the Lakers and how they're going to attack the center position?
Yeah, with the center position, I have heard personally DeAndre Ayton there a lot of buzz in the last 24 hours since he was bought out there. I think it makes a lot of sense for both sides. DeAndre Ayton and Luka Doncic share the same agent. They're in the same draft class as well in 2018. Also, he wants to play on a contending team from what I've heard as well. So you want that mixed together. It's starting center spot right away for DeAndre. And so I think that's going to happen pretty soon, I imagine. And then also Brooke Lopez, too. Keep an eye on Brooke Lopez as another option. I honestly would be surprised if the Lakers, instead of just doing one big signing, don't be surprised they do a DeAndre Ayton plus a Brooke Lopez. I think that's certainly on the table here for them. Maybe Lopez on a smaller deal with Ayton taking the mid-level exception. But the Lakers are definitely targeting one or multiple big men, and I think that's a big priority for them.
And I am sure for the Lakers, those will feel like solid moves. I guess the question becomes, are those enough with LeBron James opting into his deal and the player option and some comments that maybe made it a little bit uncertain as to whether or not LeBron would be playing for the Lakers next season? Evan, what was your takeaway when you saw the reporting around LeBron James opting in, but maybe not guaranteeing he wants to stay an LA Laker?
It made my ears perk up. I think a lot of people around the league felt the same way, because this is the first time ever, for those wondering, in LeBron James' career where he's an expiring contract outside of the year when he left Miami or Cleveland for Miami in 2010. That's the last time it's ever happened. And that, of course, we all know what happened at the end of the year, the decision he goes to Miami. But I do think that this is really interesting, because not only does LeBron not take a discount to help the Lakers, who, if he would have taken a discount, they could have gotten a center or two plus a legitimate wing. Maybe you keep Dorian Finney-Smith, who already signed at the Houston Rockets. Now with LeBron James taking $52.6 million in 2025-26, it makes you really think, if it's a Brooke Lopez and a DeAndre Ayton. Of course, Ayton maybe is a top 30 center in the league. Brooke Lopez is around the same, but it's not a game-changing, the Lakers are a championship contender now type of move. So that makes me think, what do Lakers have up their sleeve if they do? Because if this is a gap year, it's still incredible to think, Kevin, that the Lakers now have Luka Doncic, which is still unfathomable to me. But to have them be able to reset that timeline with Luka Doncic now, he is so much younger than LeBron James. He's 15 years younger than him. Like, this is a completely different timeline you can go on here with Luka Doncic. If you want to take that gap year and trade LeBron James somewhere and get value, legitimate value for a 41-year-old player, LeBron James, I still think, in return, I think you have to explore that, because if LeBron wants to win a title, we've heard so much buzz for, I think, 3 or 4 years now, Kevin, about Stephen Curry and LeBron James wanting to eventually play together. This might be that moment here. If you're the Golden State Warriors, why not make that call? I think that's something to watch out for.
Do you think that the Warriors would be the top team potentially, Evan, on a LeBron list? Or would they maybe fall in the 3-4 tier? I would imagine Cleveland has to be near the top.
Yeah, I think Cleveland would be certainly up there too. But I have to imagine, is LeBron really wanting to go round 3 in Cleveland? Like, I know he went back, did his thing. He's already gone back there. I think there's just been so much smoke around him and Stephen Curry, or him teaming up with someone else in the West. I think I'd put more credence to the Golden State being a legitimately top choice for LeBron James than even Cleveland. Even though Cleveland does make a lot of sense, especially in this wide open Eastern Conference. We do have a breaking news trade, Kevin. Might as well put it in here via Sean
Sharania.
Yeah,
go for it, Evan.
Michael Porter Jr. has been traded to the Brooklyn Nets alongside a future first-round pick, so a true salary dump here for the Denver Nuggets. So they are certainly up to something. Now, you just trade a max contract slot in Michael Porter. They might be a team worth LeBron James now, Kevin, where you say, now they have the flexibility, is this a LeBron James team now? Like, that's something that, as of 5 seconds ago, you might be thinking about.
You know, I saw some people kick around the idea of Denver, perhaps location-wise, it's still close enough to L.A., puts his eye towards Phoenix a little bit with his son playing, his other son and Bryce playing at Arizona. I think this is the interesting thing to me, Evan, right now with this LeBron situation, and certainly sounds to be what you're suggesting here. The list for LeBron would not just be Cleveland, but it may be multiple teams long. Let me ask you this piece of it then, Evan. Do you imagine the Lakers would be willing to part ways with LeBron? And if he does ask for a deal, they would say, all right, let's figure this out and let's move on from LeBron James.
I think so, because for those who don't know, only two players in the NBA have this in their contract, a no trade clause, Bradley Beal and LeBron James. So LeBron James controls this entire situation. For those who didn't know, he now has full leverage. He has a full no trade clause. If he wants to go, let's say, to Golden State, or he wants to go to Cleveland, and every other team is going to put in better offers, he can pull what Bradley Beal did and force his way to a destination for extremely less value. And again, that's a bargaining chip now with the Lakers. Like, do they want to help out LeBron in that scenario? But now with Luka Doncic on the table, I think anything's possible. So I think it's certainly this whole new can of worms in the free agency where it was pretty quiet, I have to imagine. I mean, you've seen a couple of signings here and there, but this LeBron domino in the last 24 hours, it has a lot of people talking within the NBA.
You know, it's one of those interesting things, Evan. We've heard this notion of this being just a totally wild offseason, and another one just came out as you're with us here. You had an idea, maybe one or two of these might. Ty Jerome ends up a Memphis Grizzly, which is, I don't think I would have expected the Ty Jerome landing spot necessarily there, but Cleveland banking on Lonzo Ball over the weekend, I guess, to fill that role. And he also has to step in while Darius Garland is injured. I'm curious, Evan, did you hear anything around what Cleveland and how they assess Lonzo's health? Because I feel like they're investing a lot into him.
I think they are, and I think it's a good roll of the dice because, unfortunately for Ty Jerome, he's still got $24 million over 3 years there, $8 million a year for him, but he was going to make a lot more money before the Pacers kind of exposed him in that playoff series. He was a sitting duck out there, and I think it was kind of a warning sign to Cleveland. We need more defense, especially on the perimeter, and even a roll of a dice on Alonzo Ball, where it's unfathomable to think that the Bulls, again, did not trade a guard and get a draft pick back in return, but that's what happened again here. They get just a straight-up swap of Isaac Okoro. I think it's a great roll of the dice for Cleveland. I think it's a good upside play, even if Lonzo only gives you 10, 15, 20 minutes a night at most. Maybe you can serve him throughout the regular season for the May and June run. I think that might make the most sense for this team and how loaded they are.
Let me ask you this, Evan, too, before, and we really appreciate you making some time here during, again, a very busy period of the NBA free agency schedule. Giannis, I feel as if it's one of those things that I'll believe he's 100% staying in Milwaukee when they tip the ball game number one. Do you feel that teams are still lurking around the Giannis-Milwaukee situation for this summer?
I think that's why you saw teams like San Antonio, for example, say no to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant wanted to go to San Antonio, but the Spurs did not want to put in a package that he was willing to go there for. At least Phoenix would oblige to, because it just wasn't good value. So Giannis with those guys, I think it makes a lot of sense. Houston still has the assets too with those Suns picks. You have the Knicks lurking as well. Certainly Giannis could be a guy to watch out for. But at this point, if I had to make a prediction, I think he stays in Milwaukee. And this might be more of a deadline kind of discussion for Giannis, but it depends on what the Bucks do here. But I would lean more towards he stays in Milwaukee for sure right now.
Amazing stuff there. Evan Sidery helping us out. You can find him on Twitter at eSidery. Again, contributes to the Forbes coverage for the NBA. Evan, we really appreciate it. I know there's, again, a lot to get here and a lot to follow.
Absolutely. Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, great stuff there from Evan as we start to get some of those big deals around the NBA free agency window, including a big-time trade, all with you here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Game time decisions. Look, the hits just keep on coming. Because joining us now is not only the host of Newswire, but one of the lead reporters for the hottest team in Major League Baseball, the Miami Marlins, winners of 7 in a row. It's Craig Mish. Craig, great to speak to you. Usually, I feel like when we talk in season, the Marlins conversations are not always at the highest level of positivity. 7 in a row. I just got to ask, what are you seeing from Miami right now?
Hey, Kevin, 7 in a row, and how about sweeping San Francisco and Arizona in their buildings?
That's insane.
Same team got swept by Colorado at home. I mean, it's baseball, you know? Strange things happen over the course of the season, but the Marlins are swinging the bats as good as they have all year. I think that's really been the key, getting contributions again from Kyle Stowers, who got off to such a good start to the season, then slumped and now has been hitting again. Otto Lopez has been a really good find for the organization. I mean, not household names. I mean, you got to look them up, I'm sure. A lot of people do. I see them every day, so I kind of know what's happening. And, you know, the thought process at the beginning of the season would be is that if they went on a streak like this, it'd probably be five, six quality starts in a row. That really hasn't been it. They've just been swinging the bats very well. So they play the Twins coming up for 3 games at home. We'll see if that continues.
Let me ask you just quickly, Craig, though, because the one guy who maybe becomes a little bit more recognizable if he can keep it up would be Augustin Ramirez, because he might get into an award race here. NL Rookie of the Year has been one of the hottest hitting catchers in the league over the last two or so weeks of Major League Baseball. Just curious what you've heard around the youngster for Miami, who again, is certainly catching some eyeballs.
Yeah, there's no doubt that since he's come up, he's hit. I think it would appear that, the Brewers certainly are going to have something to say about it with their young pitcher. Drake Baldwin has had a really good year behind the plate for the Braves, and who knows what they will do with the trade deadline. Will Sean Murphy still be there or not? If not, then that gives Baldwin more playing time. I think it's probably between those three, but there's no question he can hit. Kevin, the question will be, is his future at catcher? Right now, he's done an okay job behind the plate, and that's not a position where you can just be okay unless you have a bat like his. And so it's quite passable for the moment. The Marlins also have a young catcher in the minors named Joe Mack, who just was selected to the Futures game in Atlanta. My feeling is eventually he's going to be their starting catcher. I think Ramirez still could catch, but I mean, it's hard. You got to play both of those guys every day, and my projection would tell me that Mack will be up with the big league team next season.
You with the NL Rookie of the Year race, you mentioned, you know, Mizorowski at the top, Chase Burns, that game just started getting underway. You know, I'll be honest, for me, Craig, the Burns stuff totally caught me off guard. The guys in the back did a good job being like, hey, listen, this start really matters. They were playing the Yankees that first start. But then with how well it went, the early strikeouts, you started to hear people like his minor league numbers were Paul Skenes-ish. Mm-hmm. Yep. What have you heard around Chase Burns, who goes for the second time in his young career tonight?
Yeah, look, he's a fantastic pitcher. The Reds have done a really good job developing him and not pushing him to the big leagues. I feel like they also did a really good job with Hunter Green as well. That's the key, is keeping those guys healthy in the rotation so the Reds can make a run for the future. You know, right now, as it would seem, you know, the Brewers are ahead of them again in the division. The Cubs, they're going to have to do the Cardinals too. They're going to have to do a lot of fighting. But there's no doubt that he'll be in the mix to be probably in the top three for Rookie of the Year. But generally speaking, Kevin, when you look at it, it's almost impossible to go back and look at history and find Rookies of the Year that frequently come up in June. Usually it's got to be sometime in May, mid-May, late May. And in this case, Burns would, you know, certainly have a lot of work to do to get that award. And who knows, honestly, if the Reds were not in it in September, what will their decision be with this young pitcher? Will they stop him at 70 innings, 80 innings? That's not going to be Rookie of the Year, but certainly the kid has talent.
It's an excellent, excellent point, Craig. I want to ask you just in terms of, you know, limiting or not limiting a pitcher. The Ohtani stuff has been really fascinating to me. Just the, well, he's always a fascinating, but the pitching piece of it there. My just brain says they're not going to let him be, hey, Shohei threw 90 pitches. Shohei threw 100 pitches, at least not in the regular season. I'm wondering if you have a read on Shohei the pitcher.
Yeah, I think your read that you're saying is probably accurate. And as we sit here, we are entering the month of July. So, Kevin, that means in 1 month, the Dodgers are going to have another pitcher that we don't know. Because you know.
Right. It's a good point.
They're going to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think that you're spot on. I think Ohtani is probably a 3-4 inning pitcher at most. And then when they get deep into the season, he becomes the great equalizer, as they say, I guess, in soccer. The other thing too is, look, I you know, some people are speculating he could close out games for the Dodgers in September and October. But I think you have to keep that in the back of your mind. Jack Flaherty was that guy last year for LA. Who's going to be the guy this year? Who are the Dodgers going to pluck from some other team and is going to be their number two or number three starter in the postseason? You know it's going to happen.
I guess I'll ask you, Craig, I don't know if you've heard anything on that idea, but has there any recent chatter around Sandy who put together his best kind of 4-5 game run before getting hit a little bit by Arizona in a game, you know, as you mentioned, they still win. Have you heard anything around Sandy recently?
Yeah, no, look, they're going to listen because that's what teams do. And it still, to me, feels like a little bit of a sell low if they did trade him now just because of the start that he got off to. Remember, he's still under team control. His price tag does go up significantly next year, but the Marlins can afford it. I mean, their payroll is already, you know, relatively low where it is. And so I don't see a trade happening unless over the next three starts, Kevin, maybe four, we see Sandy, let's say, you know, quality start after quality start. Then at that point, I think it could be game on. Maybe more of an offseason thing. But look, he may be the single best pitcher available if they make him available at the trade deadline. I don't know that he is right now.
Or he has three good more starts, and by that point, the Marlins are over 500, and then we're talking in a wild card race. Craig, appreciate you making some time, as always.
Of course, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
All right, awesome stuff there from Craig. Really, really good point on the Burns thing, by the way, which just kind of reminds how insane the hype got during his first three innings as a major league starter, where he was plus 400 somehow to win Rookie of the Year during that first start. Let's see. Does he have a strikeout already here in inning number one? Oh, for a walk? We'll be right back. We're here with you on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
All right, let's play some NBA free agency catch-up, shall we? The big deal that happened as we were on with Evan Sidery was the trade sending Michael Porter Jr. to the Brooklyn Nets. And I guess if you're the Nets, you're connected to Ace Bailey, and you can't figure it out, you might as well bring in the version of Ace Bailey that doesn't work out by bringing in Michael Porter Jr. So I guess it's almost like, hey, we've already, the most expensive version of it all, you might as well just bring that in. For, I guess, Brooklyn, the big thing is obviously they get a first-round pick from Denver in 2032. And odds Jokic is on that team in 2032? I imagine the no is the favorite. 7 years from now, I think the vibe around Jokic, not that I think it's necessarily correct, but the vibe around Jokic is potentially like, I will retire earlier. So, look, that's a valuable pick they might have just brought in along with Porter Jr. The fascinating piece of it for Denver is just that trade says Cam Johnson is much better than Michael Porter Jr. At first look, I'm a little hesitant on that idea. Now, if you say, well, MPJ also struggles a little bit with health, okay. We then see Ty Jerome get the deal with Memphis. I thought maybe Ty Jerome would go somewhere that could offer him a little bit more in terms of playing time. I'm open to any Ja Morant conspiracies that you'd like to give me. I'm open to them in terms of trades. Maybe, though, the idea is Ty, with his shooting, can play a little bit next to Ja. I think that's interesting. Kevin Porter Jr. is going to stay in Milwaukee. Bruce Brown is back with the Denver Nuggets. Get excited. I feel like we have not seen Bruce Brown play any meaningful basketball since he left Denver. Kevon Looney signed with the New Orleans Pelicans, so he's no longer a Golden State Warrior. Kevon Looney with a sneaky and, I guess, depressing chance to start for the Pelicans. It would probably still be Eve Misi. D'Angelo Russell did find a home, by the way, with the Dallas Mavericks. I know some people aren't down on this. Dallas needs a starting point guard. So They probably weren't going to be able to get Chris Paul because I think Chris Paul wants to either be a Laker or a Clipper. I think he just wants to live in Los Angeles at this point in his career. Fine. Kyrie Irving, the Mavericks are clearly banking on playing for them next season. Interesting. But if he does, you'd imagine that would be the postseason portion of it. And at that point, you just sit D'Lo down and you play Kyrie. So I think for Dallas, that move makes sense enough. Luke Kornet gets a bag. 4-year, $41 million deal with the San Antonio Spurs. Wemby got excited. Luke Kornet could like sneaky start on that team. Boston losing Kornet, does that make Al Horford likelier to return? Comes to mind. So we get a couple of deals starting to break out. I think the most notable thing today is probably now the Michael Porter Jr. trade. Ultimately, as we wait to see if anything else comes out. Update on the baseball board. Chase Burns, start number two. Yikes. He's now 20-1 to win NL Rookie of the Year. Chase Burns has given up 5 earned runs and 5 hits. I think it might be up to 6 earned runs now. No, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk. He's recorded 1 out. It's 6-0 Red Sox. Whew. Oh, did I already lose my Trevor Story bet? Sure did. Trevor Story hit a 3-run home run. That's got to be one of the worst bets in the history of the show. I mean, that's got to be one of the worst bets. I mean, 3-run home run for a guy under 1.5 hit run RBI? That's not great. That's 5 hit run RBI through 1 at bat. Not great. Should we check on this Rodon Scherzer strikeouts? Let's go slow style. Scherzer 2. Nice. Rodon, nothing. Terrible. Scherzer gets his 3rd. Sweet. All right, so we've got 3 through 3.5 innings. Need a little bit more. Oh, my goodness. Don't show the Trevor Story pick! What are you doing? Whoa! Sabotage grid! Everyone cover half your eyes and just only see that Scherzer-Rodon play. Oh, wow, Trevor Story took that personal. A 5-hit-run RBI at bat. All right, so we're up against it. We'll be right back here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, with you right here on Sports Grid. And Chase Burns. Man, that's tough, dude. That is a tough second start. He only gets 1 out. That is bad. They've batted around in Boston. Should we play the clip of Jaren Duran saying they're going to figure out their offense? I think they might have figured it out, at least for one night. Oh my gosh! Here, listen. Here's Jaren Duran. I think he was on to something in this one.
Yeah, what's happening? What's kind of leading to these difficult outings?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves to score a bunch of runs every single day. And when we're at our best, you know, we're just stringing the bats together, passing the baton. And right now I feel like we're looking for that one big hit, you know, like a homer or something, but I don't know. I mean, I can speak for myself that I feel like I know that I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself like I do every night. But I could just feel, it feels a little tense right now. But, I mean, that's just part of it. You know, we're grinding right now, and I feel like that's just part of it.
Do you feel like that kind of snowballs, right? Are you trying to, like, press a little bit, kind of run, and kind of snowball effect there?
Yeah, I mean, after, like, having some tough at-bats, I feel like, me personally, like, I'm like, all right, I have to get a hit this time instead of just thinking simple and be like, all right, just have a quality at bat, which is more important than trying to force a hit, you know, even if it's like a walk or even hit the ball hard and maybe they make an error or something and just getting on base, just having a quality at bat is kind of something I feel like we'll get back to too soon. So I'm not too worried about us.
All right. Yeah. So look, Jarren Duran, who's up right now, doesn't get a second chance at Chase Burns. Tough, dude. Tough. Going up against Brent Sutter now. So we'll see how it goes. NBA, here's the deal. Clint Capella to the Rockets. Some people had mentioned the Lakers could potentially be interested, but we had Evan Sidery on. He mentioned Brooke Lopez and DeAndre Ayton could be the center pairing that the Lakers go with. Both names are still on the board. Caris LeVert has signed a deal with the Detroit Pistons. That is a good indicator of Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Now, where was he supposed to go? There was a couple teams there, but you had Atlanta, I guess, may now end up with Nickeil Alexander-Walker, probably, now that you see Caris LeVert in Detroit. So that's something to keep your eyes on. And there's a couple of other deals that are starting to break out now, so we're getting more and more. There's also a report that we could see Kevon Looney's exit open up Al Horford to the Warriors. So that's another one to keep your eyes on right now as the NBA free agency period is starting to get underway. I'll bring this up quickly because it will matter a ton. You're not seeing a ton of deals right now, right? Shape the odds. But the Lakers losing Dorian Finney-Smith and replacing him with Jake LaRavia is a we-have-time move. And if the Lakers and Luka want to approach it, like, hey, we have time, that's fine. Okay? LeBron does not have time. LeBron has 1, 2, 3 years left in his NBA career, right? And LeBron opted in, and there's a couple quick myths to dispel with that. One, people say, why would he opt in if he wanted to leave? Because nobody else has cap space. So that LeBron isn't going to become a free, he's going to become a free agent and sign where? And that would then get met with, well, then why does LeBron not take less? What do you want LeBron to play on the vet min while being one of the 10 best players in the league? That's bad for the sport. That's silly. That's not realistic either. So LeBron opting in is almost the only way he really could get himself to a destination that would make sense for him next season. If he feels the Lakers do not make sense for him next season. And we've talked about the openness of the East. And we frame it through, oh, how those teams should be aggressive. It would not surprise me if the smartest player the league's ever seen realizes that players should be looking to get there, not just those teams themselves individually being aggressive. It's why, again, if Kevin Durant cared more about winning than he did about playing in Texas. Now, he ended up with Houston, so I guess, you know, he has a better chance with the Rockets. I shouldn't say that, but it's why the Knicks felt like the right option. Now, the Knicks apparently turned him down, so fair is fair, right? Fair. Bored, though. And there are other guys, Devin Booker, who should be wondering if he could maybe get across to the Eastern Conference. If LeBron ended up a Cav, Darius Garland is gone in the deal. There's an argument to be made for the Cavs as title favorites. Title favorites. Because of what their Eastern Conference number would need to be. Because that Eastern Conference number would need to drop. Notably, like it would considerably. The whole conference right now, at the top of it, comes with these question marks beyond Cleveland. The Knicks still do not have a coach. They'll figure it out, but there leave some question marks. The Orlando Magic, who have the third best odds, I mean, that alone should kind of make the case, but Orlando just put together a new team or is swinging with a young group and they're hoping it can work out, but that's not a right now this season timeline thing. Boston lost Tatum. I'm not even sure Joel Embiid isn't going to retire. Atlanta's fielding a new team. Halliburton's out for the year. The Pistons last season were supposed to win like 25 games. So them winning 44 was awesome, but not sure they're ready. Giannis may still not be a Buck. What are we doing here? Currently, the Cavs are plus 210. All I'll tell you is I'll just say Garland out, LeBron in. What's the Cavs price? It's shorter. Is it shorter than OKC plus 130 in the West? I think yes. I think yes. You know, it's funny. As I'm, though, wondering about LeBron trades, right? That may be a little selfish of me. There are other people who are worrying. See, because LeBron goes, let's be real clear. K-Dub goes, right? If you're a fan of a, let's say, NFL franchise, and they lose, you know, one of the great defensive players this league has to offer, because you can't figure out how to pay him as such, right? Let's say you're a fan of a team in the AFC North, and there's this great edge rusher, good lineage, family-wise deal, and let's say that guy leaves, well, then you're stuck rooting hypothetically for 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers on what is now maybe not a team looking to win. I don't really understand the vibe of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And a part of me says it's not fair to blame the whole thing on Rodgers showing up, but I'm not sure he escapes all of that. Here's the thing, though. I'm not going to have to answer all these questions. We've got Mike Blewett on the line, who's going to join us in our next segment. And I may just say, hey, Mike, how's it going? And then leave it at that and just let Mike vent through it all. Because maybe TJ's done being a Steeler. Or maybe the Steelers are super back because they got Jalen Ramsey. We'll find out next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Game time decisions. We're in the mix, folks. And as I alluded, Mike Blewett is here. Mike, it's great to have you.
It's great to be here, buddy.
Is it a great day to be a Steeler fan? I don't know. Maybe every day is. You tell me, Mike Blewett, what is going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
How about I answer your question with a question, Kev?
Okay.
What All right. could possibly go wrong?
I would say it's possible that you somehow, in bringing in Aaron Rodgers, which is supposed to be a win-now move, look around at your team and go, wait, Pickens, Minka Fitzpatrick, and TJ Watt aren't on it anymore? That might be what could go wrong.
The Watt thing would obviously be troubling. I've said this before on this show and on other shows, I am surprised the Steelers got involved in the Aaron Rodgers drama. They have been in a unique position within the NFL as to this sort of turnstile of QBs while remaining that aren't playing well, but they're still competitive somehow. So, again, I'm surprised, but I think they're hoping for that one-year magic bullet type of season. They've obviously stockpiled some talent. Now, since the trade happened today, let's talk about Minka, whom I love. He was my favorite player coming out of that 2017 draft class. When the Steelers acquired him, I was thrilled. He played tremendously for a few seasons, a couple seasons. But last year, he had a very difficult year. They've never been open about whether or not it was injury related. And if you go to PFF grades, for example, he was the 44th ranked safety in the NFL last year. And this year we'll be getting paid $22 million. Jalen Ramsey, if we're going by that same measure, was 11th amongst corners. Are his best days behind him? Sure, possibly. Is that also true for Minkah? Very possible. There's a lot of data out there on safeties, aging safeties. It doesn't always go great for them. I hope he plays great and has a great third act here in his career. So swapping out Ramsey for Minkah, it hurts because I like the guy personally. But as far as a talent situation is concerned, Ramsey's flexibility as well, I think, is a positive for them. Jonnu Smith is an interesting piece. Arthur Smith and he obviously connected really well in Atlanta. Plus, they have Freiermuth there. I think what you really start to learn with the offense now is that I have issues with the way things went last year with Arthur Smith. Their goal line and fourth down situations were awful. Really bottom of the barrel within the league. I think 30th on some of those short yardage situations. They are getting an offensive lineman back. Their first round pick, Bautanu, did not get a chance to play last year at all. He was injured right away. So they have a young, big offensive line. They've added Caleb Johnson. They have Jaylen Warren there still. Now, are they trying to protect Rodgers? That's not really the way to try to win multiple playoff games. Let's protect Aaron Rodgers, keep him in the background. I don't think that's going to happen. But with Metcalf there, they have Robert Woods as a veteran receiver. Calvin Austin has shown some ability to make plays. I do think they've stockpiled enough offensive talent to certainly be better than the last couple of seasons. But it's going to take all these pieces that you've acquired in the same offseason to work out well right away. So, yes, there are question marks. Do I think they're in a better position on paper, though, from a year ago on offense? I definitely think that on paper.
I think when you try and grab all of that, right, Mike, and I think you kind of alluded to it at the top, this is all fine, right, unless TJ goes. Because at the end of the day for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the notion is not, hey, we're going to win a Super Bowl. Hey, we want to be in the playoffs. We'd love to win a game. We want to improve, right? But if TJ Watt is somehow not on this team, that changes everything. And I don't know if you would agree with me on this, but this feels realer to me because Schefter said it, and then, look, this is these reporters, whatever stuff gets... Pelissero almost seemingly came over the top of, like, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
And sometimes this becomes this weird beef of, like, Schefter, like, well, I'm not going to get shown up. So now, I don't know if Schefter controls and makes sure that TJ gets traded, but this just, I don't think, is going to go away, is what I would say, Mike. I wonder if you have the same read.
So my read on it is that there is a difficult market right now in paying these high-end edge rushers. Myles Garrett broke the market, right? Stayed on an awful football team. He's getting paid $40 million. But you have Trey Hendrickson, who outperformed everybody last year. You have Watt, who's won defensive players of the year. Had a difficult end of the season, but was productive for, you know, 13 games. And then Micah Parsons is out there as well. And I think because Hendrickson and Watt are both 30 and older, they are trying to flush out what the market is. The teams are trying to flush out what the market is so they don't come over the top and perhaps do an overpay or ratchet up the perhaps second rung of the edge rusher market. Or do they have to outspend what the Browns did? These are all considerations. I think that's why there's been no movement, because all three of those guys are looking for a contract at the same time. I don't think it's real about him leaving, but it's not impossible. Certainly not. I think Schefter is caught up in the people using the media in order to force somebody's hand. Let's start some negotiations and say, my guy's on the move. They won't make a deal with us.
And that's a good reminder, because TJ's not done anything to the level of which Myles Garrett did. And Myles is on the Browns. And the Browns' outlook is worse than that of the Steelers. They deserve less of a benefit of a doubt than the Steelers. Would I go as far as to say TJ's legacy in Pittsburgh is greater than that of Miles in Cleveland? I don't know, only because the Browns, the historical run of that organization doesn't run as deep as Pittsburgh. So, like, Miles being a Hall of Famer for Cleveland will matter more than TJ for Pittsburgh. But I just, it seems like something to watch. I may ask Mike Blue to stick around. We'll do some best bets, some moonshots. We'll get everybody out of here. We're hanging out with you. It's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
All right, Game Time Decisions here on a Monday night. Kevin Walsh closing it out with Mike Blewett here. I'm going to ask Mike a TJ Watt destination, if he has one, question. After, I just remind everybody of some of the best bets here. Pittsburgh and St. Louis on the baseball board under the 9 for me. That game just getting underway with the weather. Chris is trying to root in some Vladdy Jr., and he does have a hit already, so just needs one more hit run or RBI in this game. Howl on a score late night, FIFA Club World Cup. And then Pirates money line again. That game just getting underway for AJ. I do remember that Sam's moonshot also comes in the soccer game. So he's trying to be Soccer Sam, which is, well, good for him. Plus 253. Foden, Holland, FIFA Club World Cup. If you want to get, if you would like to get in the mix there. Again, we are with Mike Blewett. And Mike, TJ Watt is, to me now, on a day where the Pittsburgh Steelers make this, you know, really notable trade, right? Jonnu Smith comes in, Jalen Ramsey comes in, Minkah Fitzpatrick comes out. But TJ Watt is the game changer, because not only will it impact Pittsburgh the most, but the acquiring team the most. Is there, if I tasked you with, hey, give me a team to watch in the TJ Watt sweepstakes, is there one that would come to mind?
You know, the irony is that the Steelers have a ton of cap space next year and the year after. They're top three in cap space for next year. So I do think it is what I said earlier with getting people moving around and trying to get the those three players, Hendrickson, Parsons, and Watt, sorted as to who's going to get paid what. So I do think that he ultimately stays in Pittsburgh, but you have a couple of teams with a lot of cap space, as he would be looking for, just in this hypothetical world where he's got a trade destination and he would have to get an extension. The Chargers are a team with a lot of cap space for next year. The Lions and the Niners have a lot this year, but it would get very difficult for the Lions moving forward. So I think a team like the Chargers, having lost Bosa and Mac being towards the end of his most productive years, that's an interesting team when I look forward to see who would be interested in. Would the Rams, with $74 million in cap space next year, could they use somebody like that when he's 31 years of age? It's interesting. You and I both think the NFC West is a pretty interesting division.
Yeah.
And the Rams are a team that I think you got to keep an eye on. Again, they gave the Eagles their toughest game in the playoffs, and I think they're just a very well-coached team, and they're constantly recycling new impactful players on that team.
What I would say on the TJ thing is, and I don't know how feasible it would be, but I think you would agree with this, Mike. It's not anything to do with my Eagles fandom. I think Howie, like, I think there's an itch to make a deal like that, right? Because the AJ thing worked out, then the Saquon thing worked out. And I think, just, you know, when you keep rolling the dice and they work out to that degree, it's why so often I feel like people thought the Eagles were going to have, you know, if they could, they were going to go all in on Myles Garrett. I don't know if they would win a TJ Watt sweepstakes. I think Mike's right. TJ Watt sweepstakes are likely to never actually materialize, and Pittsburgh will pay him because that's how these things typically work out. I would say, though, if you're Rodgers and TJ Watt does leave, Like, what is going on in Pittsburgh? Like, that is just the most opposite direction two moves could be in, right?
Yeah. Yes, it would be unusual for the Steelers. First of all, he's the best player on the team. It was just like, trade him out of nowhere. Like, we just couldn't really get a deal done. I mean, it was just deal him for a pick. You know, like, what are you talking about? He's the best player on the team. He's one defensive player of the year. There is a signal, though, if you're, look, as a Steelers fan and somebody that follows the league in the manner in which we both do, Kev, there is clearly a way that Kevin Colbert, their longtime personnel executive that retired a couple of years back, would operate that Omar Khan does not operate. Omar Khan was very quick to just end the Kenny Pickett experiment. He had seen what he had to see, and we're moving on. The old school way of doing that for the Steelers, like, let's tough it out, see how he is in year four, and it would have been bad. Should they have just done that anyway? I don't think so, but they do operate a little bit differently now. This would be the most aggressive trading of a player in the history of the franchise, though, if he goes.
And the Steelers kind of don't like doing, oh, we've never done that before. There's usually a reason. Mike Blewett, always a great time to check in. In-game live is next. Rooting that under. Pittsburgh, St. Louis.